Welcome to the Michigan Opportunity, an economic development discussion series featuring candid conversations with business leaders and innovators across Michigan. You'll hear firsthand accounts on how the state is driving job growth and business investment, supporting a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem, building vibrant communities, and helping to attract and retain one of the most diverse and talented workforces in the nation. And now, your host, Ed Clemente.
Hello, and welcome to the show. We're fortunate to have with us today Charlie Elwood. He's the Microsoft AI MVP, which I don't know what that means, but and I know he's got a lot of other titles, but welcome to the show, Charlie.
Yeah, great. It's a pleasure to be here.
And why don't you just start out with a simple thing like what is a Microsoft AI MVP, but also sort of tell the story of how you became that too. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see. About 3 years ago now, I was working with Power BI and I wanted to become a Power BI MVP, right? But I got in this hackathon and we were working with this like really cool device that was using edge artificial intelligence to kind of monitor rooms of people and read their body language. And I was working with a team at Microsoft and they said, Charlie, you should become an MVP. You deserve this because you love our product. You tell people, you teach people. So they kind of pulled me into that award. And just by accident, I wanted to be a Power BI MVP, but they gave me the AI MVP, which at the time didn't mean a lot, but now it means a lot more. So,
what is BI or VI?
Power BI, yeah, business intelligence. It was way to visualize data and databases, and it was really cool. And that was my dream, but I got something kind of even better out of it.
Oh yeah, and your timing couldn't be better, obviously. But you do other stuff. Why don't you also mention what you do with the schools? I find that pretty fascinating because you have your own little kids too, right?
And that's right. I have three boys, and my whole family, everybody uses Azure, OpenAI, ChatGPT. They've been using it for a year now, and I just love how creative my kids are with it. My favorite story, I'll do this real quick, is my son took his social studies rubric. And he was working on it one night and he wrote a whole letter or the essay, and he took the rubric and the essay and put it in. And he's like, and he called me off the couch. I was, zoomed out, napping on the couch, like, Dad, come here. I was like, what? I'm sleeping. I'm zoomed out. And he's like, ChatGPT, Dad. And I was like, okay. So I ran over there and he's like, look, Dad, I entered this rubric. I entered this essay. I got my grade immediately. It told me how I can improve my writing. And I thought, wow, instant feedback, right? These kids can now use this to get constant and instant feedback. And then he did something crazy, Ed. I got to mention this part. He goes, Dad, so I'm going to stop on this because this grade is good enough that ChatGPT told me I should get. And I'm going to spend time on my algebra homework and I got volleyball practice. So it allowed him to manage his time, right? So that's what I'm going into a lot of schools in the West Michigan area and the ISDs there and trying to, show teachers and students how to use this to learn, to get a love of learning.
Well, it's actually in a weird way, like human instead of machine learning, like human learning. And it's almost like an augmented sort of like a matrix upload, but then you're putting a human spin on it.
That's exactly right. This, if we take AI and we augment it with humanity, quick story is I have chats with ChatGPT and I tell it, what my mission, my values are, and it reflects back to me what I told it who I am, right? So we're going back and forth. And at the end of the day, I say, hey, evaluate my whole conversation and make sure I'm aligned with my goals, my values, and everything. And it's kind of reflective thinking. And it in a way has made me a better person. It has, focused me on my mission and my values. So super valuable tool, I think, to augment humanity with AI.
Well, and it kind of reminds people, sort of like when I first started doing the podcast, it's amazing when you hear your own voice, and like usually most people don't like their voices. But but also it makes you realize like how you speak, and it actually sort of almost mirrors you to sort of start improving how you say things or slow down or those kind of things. And that's kind of what AI is doing. It's actually doing a, it's not telling you what to do, but it's giving you an exact sort of empirical view of what you're doing.
Absolutely. It's, you know, I tell people this, you know, people are like, oh, this will make you get stuck on your screen and not, and disconnect you from the world. And it's actually done the opposite for me, because I now go and do keynote presentations. I speak at schools. And every time before I go, I put in who my audience is. I put in some bullet points, and I ask it to tell me, how do I tell a story, or what stories are relevant to this group, so that I can emotionally connect, so I can tell them a story that they care about and they can kind of empathize with. And it's brought me closer. You know, it's helped me have more impact on humanity and influence in my life.
Yeah. And I think before we get too far down, I know this is what you do for a living, but I think your own story is pretty interesting. Why don't you tell us sort of your path to end up in Holland, Michigan, and how you got there?
Yeah. So I was born in South Dakota, and maybe when I was around one, my mom took me to Thailand. So, you know, and she's still, you know, she's not, she's on green card, so she's not a U.S. citizen. So I'm actually a first generation Asian American, which I recently found out. But then we went to Thailand, we went to Indonesia, we went to the Netherlands. So I spent my whole childhood overseas. And then we moved to Louisiana, which the food and the culture, it's kind of like its own country within the U.S.
So yeah, it is.
So, but then I graduated with an electrical engineering degree, and then I got an MBA at Rose Holman. Then I went to Purdue, and then I got into automotive. You know, I worked at Delphi Automotive, worked on databases that dealt with car vehicle data. We were trying to do predictive. This was 15 years ago, Ed. I was working on predictive analytics back then. Then Johnson Controls brought me back to Michigan. I even spent some time at GE Appliance Park down in Louisville, Kentucky. So, you know, it's been a fun adventure. I've been all over the place. But automotive is what brought me here to Michigan.
And throughout that process, I imagine you speak more than just English. You sound like you probably have a couple languages, right? Beyond that.
Yeah. I picked up Indonesian. I speak a little bit Sedikit Bahasa. I speak Thai fluently. You know, and that's the crazy part about AI. It's taken me 40 years to perfect Thai and my accent. And, you know, now I see AI do it in within a second, you know, any language you want, and you can add more, you know, it's crazy.
Why did they pick the Netherlands, by the way? Was there a reason?
Why did my dad? North Sea. There was a oil exploration. He was an exploration geologist at Chevron, at Unocal, then Chevron. So we went to the Netherlands so that he could do exploration in the North Sea. Yep.
And then interesting. You've had a very interesting life. And so what got you into, as you said, you were trying to be a business intelligence person. Yep. But what took you from the automotive sector sort of to what you do now?
So I was in automotive. I went to super wide printing for a little while in New Hampshire, of all places, came back automotive, went into automation of powder handling. So, what I think drives me and why I think I love AI so much is because I really love math, and I love exploring the outer edges of what's possible and being creative. I think it's because I moved around so much. I like tying cultures and things together that previously, you know, we've talked about this. The social construct said this apple and this orange, they can never be related. They're not relatable. And I was like, no. Like, you can tie them together. There are ways to do that. And that's what AI has allowed me to do. So I think that's what I love about AI the most is exploring and being the first to step into certain areas. And it's a lot of fear around that, but you know, I enjoy solving problems nobody's ever solved before.
You're listening to The Michigan Opportunity, featuring candid conversations with Michigan business leaders and innovators on what makes Michigan a leading state to live, work, and play. Listen to more episodes at michiganbusiness.org/podcast or download The Michigan Opportunity through your preferred podcast platform.
Once again, our guest is Charles, or Charlie Elwood, and he's a Microsoft AI MVP. Just to your last point, I I might like maybe tell you to say it a different way, or this way I would say it. It's not so much that you want to tie stuff together. I think, and no pun intended there. But it's more about having a thread that goes through a lot of things, as I think all of life is in a way. I mean, you know, when you meet anyone international, you think because they're from Thailand or the Netherlands, they're going to be so much different than you are. But the reality is, we as humans, we have more in common always than we do different. But it takes a while to figure that out. And that's what you're trying to do, it sounds like, a little bit.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm working with Bing Goy, who he was great. He went with me to Thailand and Vietnam on this trade mission that Automation Alley put together. But Bing and I right now, you know, Asian countries are interesting, different island nations, lots of different languages. And he is bringing us all together in Grand Rapids to try to connect each other. And in our culture, you know, the cultures, multiple cultures, education is super important. So we get a lot of STEM, very well-educated personality or groups, people. And, you know, this flight, this brain drain on Michigan, you know, we see so many Asians come to study at our great universities and then they leave, right? So Bing and I are on the initiative right now to tie all these different people speaking different languages and studying different things together and try to keep them here in Michigan.
Well, why don't you actually mention how we met through my previous interview with Duke Abrahamson?
That's right. APAC, the Asian Pacific Chamber of Commerce. And Duke has been instrumental in helping me, you know, introductions to you, introductions to other groups within the Michigan network.
Ecosystem, yeah, right.
Ecosystem, right. Which I knew never existed, you know, and that's what, you know, and then she introduced me. We kind of met with Bing, and Bing was, I think, the chair of APAC for a little bit. So he expanded my network because he worked in Lansing. I think he was the committee of New
He
Americans.
Was like the New Americans or the New Michiganian something for under Governor Snyder, I believe. Something.
Yeah.
I just forgot what it was called, though, but I know what you're talking about.
Right. So he introduced me to a whole different ecosystem. Duke introduced me to ecosystem. You have your ecosystem. And I was like, wow, there's all these wonderful networks in Michigan. And kind of like AI, I'm now piecing them all together, connecting them.
Well, you know, it's almost like a forest, right? There's all these separate root systems, but they all sort of intertwine and grow around each other. And it, you know, on the surface, you don't see it. But once you can get into a couple of them, you really realize the sort of almost the biodiversity of it, right?
Where
things are all sort of related and they actually need each other, you know, and that's what's nice about an ecosystem is that it's almost codependent in some ways. Sometimes you just can't sit on your own. Another couple of things. So like beyond schools, I know not too long ago, you were on a, we were both on a work group with Automation Alley to talk about AI. So what do you sort of do? What are you finding the best things for AI for you, like in a practical sense that you're helping people out? I know you do it with schools, but I'm sure you do it with other people. Probably people call you all the time.
Absolutely. And then, you know, with AI, you can almost apply it anywhere. So so I had a conversation with AI. I said, you know, I can solve the little problems, but if you had this powerful tool called AI, and I was talking to it, so it's been a strange conversation, but it's like, what are the bigger issues that I should be solving and preparing our kids for our future, right? And that's when education came up. So AI was like, you know, you should really focus on education because this generation is the first generation that'll graduate and need these skills. So you need to help them now. And like Singapore, I learned, you know, did this a year ago. They're already integrating AI into their school system. Healthcare, you know, I was in Thailand and my kids did go to the hospital and, you know, I got the medicine and I looked at it and it's like, I don't know what the risks are. I can't read any of this writing. I can speak it. But I was like, imagine if we had, you know, we bridged language barriers in healthcare. And that's another thing I'm doing with Neural Voice is, you know, if you have throat cancer that took out your vocal cords or ALS, you know, I've helped people recover their original voice. There's a radio DJ in Holland that I helped recover his voice, right? That was his livelihood. He's lost his voice to throat cancer. So those are the two things. You want me to pause or keep going?
No, I mean, so I just think that, getting back sort of to like I've often told people when they ask me, I'm not an expert like you are in AI, but I also tell people, you know, it's more like a personal assistant in some ways, that either it's going to augment what you do, or it's going to be even stronger, like a steroid or something else, but right. You don't know until you get into it, right?
Absolutely. The, you know, what are some good examples? The, you know, this neural voice thing, you know, I think it's interesting being a Microsoft AI MVP, because Microsoft asks me all the time, how are you using this? What are you using it for? And for the longest time, they weren't looking at, you know, people who had lost their voice or were born without a voice, right? So everything I do in that realm, I'm one of probably the first to ever try it for an ALS or a cancer patient. And I get to give this information back to Microsoft, and they love these stories, because a lot of times they're dealing with just the business size, the enterprise, you know, and they never get to hear how this will do such, you know, good in society. So I share a lot of these discoveries back with Microsoft. So it's been a lot of fun. And if I could, the story about going to Thailand and the EV story is a good one, if I have time to share too.
Sure.
Yeah. So I went on that trade mission, Thailand, Vietnam, and I landed in Thailand, and the Microsoft team in Thailand pulled me into EGAT. And I found out that was the Electric Grid Authority of Thailand. And I was like, well, why is Microsoft pulling me into this? And so I presented, and then I heard Microsoft and our embassy in Thailand talk about this too. But in Thailand, there's an influx of EVs from China. And this was, you know, a year ago, and they were preparing for this. And the EGAT was the government kind of entity that did the electric grid all over Thailand. And they were preparing the charging stations. And what I saw that GPT-4 or AI could do was they could simulate how these stations might fail all over the country if you installed a bunch of charging stations, and then predict or simulate the solutions, right? So I was like, wow, like now they can quickly, you know, put a charging infrastructure throughout the country to prepare the influx of EVs, and then prepare for any breakdowns and look at the data and order the parts and have them ready to go. Like, you know, it's kind of a choose your own adventure book. Like if anybody understands, you know, from back in the day, those side of books.
Yeah, no. Very familiar with a lot of the electric grid system from my days in the legislature too. Also, is there any other partners you have besides Microsoft? I mean, when you say you talk to Microsoft, excuse me for saying this, but are you talking to a human or are you talking to a chatbot?
No, that's funny. It's all humans. And with that AI MVP award, it's kind of cool. I get to talk to the engineers developing the technology, like the engineers working on neural voice or OpenAI. And I sign an NDA with them. And so they let me see stuff before it gets to the public. And the idea is I'm a LinkedIn influencer, so I get to be the first with the story. And I'm the only one in Michigan. There's 16 in the US, I think about 5 in the Midwest. But it's kind of a cool place to be. I get to see stuff. But it's also frustrating because I see stuff that I could see will change Michigan and the world. But a lot of times I can't say anything until they say it's okay.
Well, I mean, you can say that about a lot of things, because if you tell people about stuff and they can't even conceive that it's going to happen in the future, they'll think you're crazy, you know, or you're like, nah, that's not going to happen. But until someone official says something, like a Microsoft, you know, or whatever, LinkedIn will come out with something, then people start to believe it. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I get a lot of that. I was like, oh, you're crazy, Charlie.
So with all these sort of different partners, do you find that your job, like even just our brief interactions, you know, through the internet, you're constantly like sending me sort of information about how just AI in general could help do the podcast, for example. I know you've sent me a couple of things before, which really are nice. And it's just, it's, you know, it's almost like to me, it seems like, okay, we've all had this whole set of encyclopedias in this one room for our whole lives or whatever. Now we've all of a sudden opened up a huge, bigger room with a bunch more information that we couldn't possibly have realized. This is going too far, but there's a, I don't know if it's Socrates or Plato, but they talk about the story of the shadows in the cave. The cave is
allegory. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I won't go through it here, but it's the allegory of the cave where people don't really know the world they're in, basically, until they leave the cave, right? Yeah. And so that's kind of what you're doing, it sounds like.
Absolutely. It's access to all this knowledge. And, you know, what I think is really interesting is it's void of human emotion and human judgment, let's say. So you can ask it anything and it pretty much knows, unless you get into the really niche stuff and then you get it to hallucinate. To think about that for a second, that is so powerful to have all this knowledge. And then, you know, the technology I've seen now, like edge artificial intelligence, is you can take copies of this brain that knows everything and put it on a mobile device or a car or vehicle that moves around, and it still knows whatever it needs to know, right? So, and then, you know, like the multi, what do they call it? Multimodal system. Like now humans are so visual, right? So now they're having it, instead of text-based, they're making it visually based or audio-based. So this just expands much bigger than we have ever imagined.
Yeah. And so I'm going to give you a couple more easy. Well, this one, you, even though you've already done it throughout the whole question, but just maybe one more trend you think AI is going to be hitting pretty quick. Just so you can just say people be aware of this instead of they don't think you're crazy, Charlie.
So I think this is coming and it will come soon, but you're already seeing some of it about laying. So large language models are they learn everything that was on the web. And I think there's going to be move towards, you know, securing your own data. And that's going to be your intellectual property. And I think within companies, you'll have layers of security. So you don't want an AI model like ChatGPT to have somebody log in and have access to everything in your company, right? Each person will have their own layer of security. And I think that will become much more important in the near future, because that is how IP will be protected and how some of this will be contained, because it is moving so fast. So I think that's kind of what I'm watching right now. That's what keeps me up at night.
So like not a Venn diagram, but think of having your own personal bubble, but then you make the decision who you want to maybe have a percentage of seeing that bubble. You know, it's exactly. Kind of like having a premium version of, you know, LinkedIn or whatever, but
exactly.
Like, yeah, but you're doing that, but your bubble, then you're going to be sort of creating sort of your own like blockchain to protect you with your own sort of cybersecurity versus having some broad based one kind of.
Yeah. Kind of. And right. You're going to segment the security, certain data, it's going to be grounded in truth. So that's the big fear is hallucinations, but this is grounded in your data and you're going to decide who gets which slice of which data.
Well, and not only that, I mean, you could apply that to a lot of intellectual property, copyrights, patents. Yep. For people who are in small business who are trying to protect their proprietary sort of software or manufacturing processes too.
Absolutely. I've been watching the IP sector. I was like, AI can imagine anything, right? It's like, how do we protect our IP in the age of when you just create something out of thin air and like 10 different ideas? And I really think the future is going to be your own silo of information, and you protect that and you give access to certain people. That's going to be your knowledge base and your IP.
And you're going to have to keep this a little shorter because I have one more question after it.
But okay.
What advice would you give your 17-year-old self to go into a career right now? You've already kind of given a lot of it, but anything else you would say specifically if you could go back and talk to little Charlie, whatever country you were living in then?
Yeah, if I were to go back, I would have enjoyed my time living overseas a little more. It was hard. You know, you make friends and then you lose them a few years later, and then you got to make new friends. But I think that taught me a whole bunch, and I think that's why I like AI, and it's because I had to reinvent myself. I had to create a new identity. And I knew as a, you know, now that I look back, it's like, it was, I've learned that skill. And sometimes I blend into the community and sometimes I want to stick out. You like to be able to think abstractly about your identity, I think is one piece of advice I would have given to myself a lot longer.
Yeah. They always say there's two people, right? In everybody, the inside person and the outside person. So the last question is pretty simple. What do you like best about living in Michigan? You lived all around the world.
Oh my gosh. The lake. I'm not too far from Lake Michigan. I run to the banks of Lake Michigan every day. You know, the forest, the natural, we've talked about this, Ed, you know, how do we keep that for our future, our children? And the other main thing about Michigan as it ties to AI is I don't want to be in San Francisco competing with a bunch of other people like me, right? I want to be here with a blank slate and help Michigan and, you know, embrace this new AI transformation. So I love that we have a blank slate here and we can move into this new world.
Yeah, I actually read an article recently getting to your forest thing that how they think AI is going to help preserve, say, like the Amazonian forest. And that could easily be applied to all forests, you know, or nature and things like that. As what is the optimum places you shouldn't be interfering, or what can you do, and all those kind of things. But anyway, I'll let you go. Again, my name was Ed Clementi, but we are fortunate today to have with us again Charlie Elwood, and he is the Microsoft AI MVP, along with many other hats. But you've got a lot of energy. I hope we keep our dialogue going. And thanks again for doing this today, Charlie.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Ed.
Join us next week where our guest will be Tammy Karnicki. She's the Chief Operating Officer for the Detroit Regional Chamber and the expert on Mackinac Policy Conference.
The Michigan Opportunity is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Whether you're looking for small business resources, exploring an expansion or relocation, or seeking a world-class workforce, visit michiganbusiness.org to learn how you can make it in Michigan.